Blog Talk Radio.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody.
Good morning, and welcome to the A New Day Show. My name is Dynamic Daphne, the queen of the empowered soul, and I am excited to be spending this morning with you. Again, I am broadcasting out of New Milford, Connecticut, and again, we are experiencing one of the most beautiful summer morning, and I am so thankful that I am able to experience this new day, and this is a day that I have never had the opportunity of experiencing before, and for that I give thanks. This morning, this morning's episode is a very special one for the reason that there are no special invited guests. You, my listeners and friends and colleagues on Blog Talk Radio Show, we are the guests this morning. And I felt led to have this special conversation because over about a 7-week time frame, I have been meeting up with some entrepreneurs, some small business owner, and even some mid-sized business owner as well. You know, over the summertime, you go to different events, and one of the things that happens during this time of the year, besides the good food, is the stimulating dialogue and conversation that we get into, and I have really been enjoying this conversation. But the one thing that kept on coming up over and over and over again, whether it's a community event or it's a church or it's other secular event that I was at, and talking to these different people, the one thing I noticed kept on coming back over and over and over again was the fact surrounding small business or entrepreneurs or small companies and some of the problems that they were facing. And I just want to pick out some that I would like us to have conversation around this morning. And they were the fact that they cannot get good help anymore. I remember one gentleman said to me, you know, Daphne, he says, people are very disgruntled. They are no longer giving their best to what they do anymore. And we had a discussion around that. So I decided this morning I want to open up the conversation to you, my listeners and my colleagues and my friends and my supporters. And, you know, let us just work on creating, if you may, a checklist that will help us to stay focused on these items that we are labeling this morning small business problems. And I'll be giving you two books later on that are two of my special books that has helped me, and I'm praying that they will help you. Later on, I will be sharing those. And as the conversation continues this morning, we will be touching on different topics. And, you know, the focus this morning, saying it bluntly, is that we need to get off our butts and just do it. And, you know, that's two of my favorite authors, John Roger and Peter McWilliams. They just say it bluntly, because a lot of times we are looking around to solve problems in other people instead of looking at ourselves and see what we can do to make a difference. Because they say each and every one of us needs to create the change that we are looking for. And the change is not always in other people. It's right in us. So let's have some conversation around that. I want to let you know that the chat room is open. And you can call in as well. I would love to hear from you. The number to call is 646-915-8166. Again, 646-915-8166. And that is the telephone number you can dial to join in the conversation, to add your input into some of the things we can do to solve the small business problems. And the chat room, to join on the chat, you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Daphne, D-A-P-H-N-E, hyphen, C-L-A-R-K-E, hyphen, H-U-D-S-O-N. And, of course, I am here waiting to hear from you and to join into the conversation. The first quote I will share with you this morning is one of my favorites, and I find it so fitting for the conversation that we are about to begin this morning. And it is one by William James. And it reads, "The greatest discovery of my generation is that human beings can alter his life by altering his attitude of mind." And, you know, this is so true, because they said if you can believe it, if you can believe it even before you see it, we know we can manifest it. So human beings has the ability to alter his life, his or her life, by altering his or her attitude of mind. Another favorite quote I want to share this morning is one from Oprah Winfrey, and it says, "My philosophy is that not only are you responsible for your life, but doing the best at this moment puts you in the best place for the next moment." And I want to read it again, and I'm going to read it a little slower and hope that it would really get embedded in your mind, in your soul, and that you will really marinate with it. And this is a quote by Oprah Winfrey, and it says, My philosophy is that not only are you responsible for your life, but doing the best at this moment puts you in the best place for the next moment. So, by you listening to this blog talk show this morning and becoming part of this conversation, it is not by accident. It is not a mistake. You did not just stumble on this show. This is a divine gathering that you are a part of. And I want to read, I will be reading a couple sections of one of the one of my favorite books, and this section that I'm reading from is titled "Response and then Ability." And when you put these two words together, you get responsibility. Responsibility is a misunderstood word. Most people use it to mean blame. Who's responsible for this? Means who is to blame for this? Who can I punish? And as I read that statement or several questions to you, we as parents know that very well, because once our children hear us use that word responsibility, right away they're thinking, oh, yes, I'm going to be punished for that. And the same thing goes for the people we manage, the people who are employed to us, the people we supervise. They do not oftentimes see or view responsibility to mean something positive. And I'm praying by the time we are through with this conversation this morning that we will be able to put a positive spin on the word responsibility. We are experts at finding blame. We blame others for not making us happy, for letting us down, or not fulfilling our dreams. If people become involved in our personal growth or therapy of some kind, they frequently don't become more responsible. They just find new things to blame. Childhood, parents, hereditary, or environment. Let's blame our parents for programming us to blame others, shall we? Enough. It's time to grow up. If we want to play adult games, living our adult dream, we must play by adult rules. One of the primary adult rules, we are individually responsible for our own lives. And this is so true. Even us as entrepreneurs or small business owners, the success of our ventures or project is not dependent on our clients, our customers, consultants and specialists that we work with, our business coaches, our life coaches, our mentors. It is our responsibility. They are there as sounding board to help us expand and to help us stretch. But the responsibility is individually ours. Responsibility simply means the ability to respond. The ability to respond. The ability to respond. And when the issue affects you, it is your responsibility. It is to take action and to respond in order to get the positive result that you need. But I think too often we keep looking to others to take that action and to respond on our behalf. And when that happens, it's never to our satisfaction. So the blame continues and it goes and it runs down. It's like the snowball. It keeps rolling and the bigger it gets. In any of life's challenges, opportunities, or disasters, we can respond in whatever way we choose or respond dictates what life hands us next. Our response dictates what life hands us next. And as I say that, I told you that I had a couple of books I was going to talk to you about this morning, mentioned for you to add to your reading material onto your library. And I want to repeat this statement, and then I want to tell you about the first book. Our response dictates what life hands us. So in other words, you know, we all get a deck of cards, and the games we play with them, it's up to us. And I want to mention a book to you this morning. I know some of you probably already have it in your library because you were on the show when Dr. Miles was here. And it is titled Overcoming Crisis. Overcoming Crisis, the secret to thriving in challenging times. Overcoming crisis, the secret to thriving in challenging times. And that's by Dr. Miles Monroe. And as you all know, Dr. Miles is a friend, he's a mentor, he's a teacher, he's a global leader. And his work has transformed my life completely. And as we talk about this morning, overcoming and solving small business problems, that's one of the books that will help us to do that. So I want for you to add that to your collection and to your library and read it and highlight it and mark it up and tell other people to read it, highlight it and mark it up, because the principles in that book and the lessons in this book will help all of us to solve our small business problems. Excuse me. Our responses was either a workable response, it took us one step closer to our goal, or an unworkable response, it did not take us one step closer. So how effective are you at analyzing the issues that you are faced with, the challenges? Are you a person that continuously pass the blame onto somebody else, or you are analyzing what took place and your response to it and say, it's either one of two things happened. It either took me closer to my goal or it pushed me farther away. And we need to be honest in our assessment and our evaluation. We need to always look at us instead of looking afar off and pointing fingers at the people we hire, our spouses, our friends, and all those people. Let us begin by evaluating and assessing how we take responsibility. It is not a matter of right or wrong, good or bad. It's a matter of practical analysis of the situation. You know, too often we have to look at it, oh, well, that's not logical and it's not practical. You know, it doesn't have to be, it doesn't need to be right or wrong or good or bad. Look at the lessons that was learned from what happens there, because a lot of times we are messed up and we are still stuck in that rut because we are not practically analyzing the situation that was handed to us and how we dealt with it. From that situation, we have the ability to respond again. You know, it's like going for your driver's license and you fail it. You got to go back and you go as many times until you get the license because you want to learn to drive. So you keep going back, not want to learn to drive, but you want to have the driver's license so you can drive. So you keep going back. And it's the same thing in our small businesses and in our life, on our life's journey. The things that does not go the way we thought they would, we need to step back and be cautious as to how we respond to those issues in our lives. You know, I look at it and I grab my journal and I love to just dissect issues that I'm going through or just came out of and just assess it and take the responsibility for getting a better result the next time around. When the outcome is not known, we will either be closer to or farther from our goal. We have the ability to respond to that. You know, and as I read these different statements, it shows us how we really need to concentrate and focus on ourselves and the role we play in all these different tasks and endeavors that we encounter. Because it doesn't matter if you have a team or a staff of 100, 150 or more. The result is really yours because it's like they say, children live what they learn, and it's the same thing with our employee. They are observing us. Yes, we give them job description and all of that, but the bottom line is that they are observing us, and they see the way we conduct business. They see the way we interact with our co-workers and our spouses, our family members, our employees, and they take all those things into consideration. So keep that in mind. The one common denominator in our adult lives is us. In everything we experience, there is one person who is always there. And isn't that the truth? You know, I oftentimes tell my son when he was younger, he's now 27, and when he's younger, I used to tell him, you know, it doesn't matter how hard you try or how fast you run, you can never run from yourself because you are always there. And to me, when I said that to him, he looked at me puzzled and asked me what that means. And I said, you know, you got to look on your inside and see what is it you need to change from the inside out, not from the outside in. And as adults, I strongly feel that we can take that same lesson as well, whether we are entrepreneurs or small business owners. You know, too often a child would say, well, it's the brother's fault, it's the mommy's fault, or, it's, you know, very, It's amazing. I don't know if anyone who is listening can connect to this. It's very rarely you ever hear children blame their daddies. It is always their mothers. Oh, you know, it's mommy's fault, or it's their brother or their sister's fault. I'm yet to hear anybody blame their daddies. But that was just a little thought that came into my mind. In addition to what we do physically about a situation, we also have the ability to choose what our inner response is to that situation. And this just goes back to support what I mentioned a few minutes ago about what I would tell Javonte. About his not being able to run from himself. You know, everybody would say, well, you know, looking on the inside is a big, that's a big thing to do, and how do you start that? And it's not as big as you would think it is. The one word that comes to mind as I think about that is our ability to be honest with ourselves. Knowing that whatever it is that we are doing, we are not doing it for the next person, not our parents, not our spouses, not our co-workers, employee. We are doing it for us. And as long as we are okay with it, other people will be accepting of it. But too often we focus on pleasing others and we never get it right. Because until you are satisfied, nobody else is going to be satisfied. You know, you need to be satisfied before anybody else will be satisfied. It sounds like a radical new idea, but it really is not. If we think back growing up, you know, I don't know how old most of you are, but as far back as we can think, you know, our parents always tell us, you know, oh, well, pray to God to help you if you did something wrong. Say, pray to God and ask for God's forgiveness. And I know one of the things my mother always tell me, oh, take it to the Lord in prayer, honey. Take it to the Lord in prayer. When I can do anything about it, God can. Just take it to the Lord in prayer. And, you know, for each and every one of us, we have different practices depending on our spiritual affiliation or our religious upbringing. We are a diverse group of people on this planet now. And as you think back over your childhood, I'm sure you can recall things that your parents had said to you that you can use to clean up your act, instead of blaming other people. And that's the same thing we're here talking about this morning. Okay, so I just want to remind the listeners that we are the guests this morning, you and I. You are listening to Dynamic Daphne, the Queen of the Empowered Soul. And I am your host here on A New Day Show on Blog Talk Radio. And this morning, the conversation is opened to you, my listeners, and the people in the chat room. We are having conversations about solving small business problems. And so far here, as I did my research for this topic this morning, I have come to realize that majority of the problems is in us. It's not really in other people. It is in us. And we need to take responsibility for the things that we need to do, because we are going to find out that once everything is right in us, around us, everything else is going to appear right too, because we are satisfied with ourselves, then we become satisfied with everybody else. There's another quote I like here, and I'm going to share it with you. It's a quote from Henry A. Kissinger, and it reads, "Next week there can't be any crisis. My schedule is already full." And, you know, I chuckle every time I read that, but that is some people's lives. They are not flexible. Everything is just has to be the way it's planned. There is no room for improvement. If something happens, they are just losing it because they cannot be flexible and modify the things that they are doing. So I just wanted to share that with you. Now, the other top section I want to focus on now is the fact that we don't plan to fail, we fail to plan. And I know that statement oftentimes comes over as a cliche, but isn't that the truth? You know, Rogers and Williams said, Mark Williams said that it is a well-known fact, long-range planning never works. You know, we almost always get our goal through means other than the ones we put on the schedule. So why plan? Because people who don't make long-range plans seldom get them there where they want to be. In short, a plan will get you to your goal, but not the way that's on the plan. So plan and be prepared not to just change horses in the midstream, but to change to a boat in midstream. Keep your goal, your dream. Stay firm and fix on that. Be prepared, however, for whatever methods come along to get you there, especially methods not on your plan. Plan on it. How to plan? Simple. Take a segment of time. Take a goal and divide it up the latter into the former. Keep dividing it up until you have a next action step, something you can do right now to move toward your goal. Let's say you want to produce a play within the next year. Get some kind of calendar and divide a year into units with which we are all familiar: months, weeks, days, etc. 12 months from now, right play opens. You have the goal, the play. You have the time, 12 months. Now chop up the goal. What needs to happen before the play opens? Make a list. One item, and then it's always good to use those little 3x5 cards and I don't know whether or not I invented this, but when I do use those cards, I punch a hole and put it like on a key ring. So you know when those cards, when it falls, they don't scatter all over the place. And of course you need to number them because you know what number you're at. And after it's when it falls, you can just pick it up and you can go right back to the number where you were. This list doesn't need to be any particular order. Brainstorm three associates. You know, what works for you? Find out what works for you and use that system. When the list is completed, put it in order according to time. What needs to happen first, second, and so on? Find a play, for example, would probably come before designing the poster. If something is a toss-up, do I find the play or the director first? Choose the way in which you would like it. So, you know, as we go through these pointers, we find out that once we plan, we are in control of whatever we are doing. We are not just letting things go by happenstance, you know. We are in total control. Remember, little of this will go this way, but if you don't do it, you won't get a play. If Shakespeare can end a scene with a if Shakespeare can end a scene with a couplet, you can end a paragraph with one. Now, start laying these out backwards in time. How many weeks of rehearsal? 6 weeks. Plan those in. That means cast and theater will have to be completed by the 6 weeks before a year from now. How much time do you want to work with the director before casting? Put that time in. And of course, these examples pertaining to a play, but it applies to anything in our lives, or in our small business or service organization that we run. These things apply to that as well. Now, start laying these things out in time. You know, remember, nobody's putting you under a pressure to do that. You know what it takes for you to work in a relaxed atmosphere. And it's up to you to create that atmosphere both for you and for your employees or your co-workers. When everything is roughly laid out, you can ask yourself, is a year enough time? Is a year too much time? Let's say a year is a good period of time. Not too ambitious. Not too lethargic. Continue breaking the plan down until you know that you must do next. Something specific you can actually physically do. Find a play is too vague. Call these 12 people and let them know I'm looking for a play is a more workable next action step. This might be followed by read, plays, submit. That's a doable action step. When the plays are submitted, the action steps becomes more precise. Read the plan, you know, read the musical would be a next doable action step. And an excellent one too, we might add, it has this great opening number call. For example, the book I mentioned early on, Do It, Let's Get Off Our Butts. And there's this marvelous scene with the dancing comfort zone, like the plan in Little Shop Horror. And well, a word to the wise producer is significant. Now start scheduling the next action step. When will you call the 12 people on the list? Next step is not good enough for that one. Next week, what day, what time, schedule it in. If you don't have an appointment book or calendar of some kind, by all means, get one. Don't wait until you have the perfect one. I plan to research time scheduling system real soon. No. If you don't have one, anyone is better than what you have, because what you have is nothing. So in other words, you know that people always wait to create, the perfect opportunity. The perfect opportunity. I got to wait for this. I got to wait for that. Remember, no, we don't have to. We start where we are. And you'll be surprised. It will amaze you to know how things fall into place. I want to also remind you that it is important to write things down. I know if you are a returning listener to this show, you hear me time and time and time again speak about journal. Journal, journal, journal. I don't know where you're listening from, but if you are any place in the USA, in each of our communities, they have these wonderful places known as the dollar store. And you can get different journals in a lot of these dollar stores that can help you to harness and gather your thoughts and to write things down. So even if you don't have the BlackBerry like other people, or you do not have a proper diary or date book, you can write that thing in your journal. And I am such an advocate for color markers, because you have different color highlighters, and you can use that to highlight things in that journal. And when you look at the color, let's say you use purple. And, of course, everybody knows now that purple is my favorite color. If you use the color purple to highlight anything to do with that plan that you're doing, the project on the play, and if you use purple to highlight that, you know that is a date that has something to do with that. If you have to go in to see your coach or mentor, you put that in green. And as you look at it, as you glance at it, you said, yes, I know what that green means. It means that I need to call my mentor or my coach, or I have an appointment with them. But please, it is so very, very important to write things down, Do not take anything for granted. Do not entrust things to memory. And the other thing I find out with journaling is that when I write things down, it empties my mind, my soul, my spirit, and it allows for greater creativity. I can think clearer and I'm sharper. So it's important. Trust me, if you have not yet tried journaling, I want for you to just try it. And of course, I want for you to also tell me what happened when you do that. Now, I'm going to share from my book. The other book I want for you to think about getting is Do It, Let's Get Off Our Butts. And that's by John Roger and Peter McWilliams. Do It, Let's Get Off Our Butts. And I want to read a section from this book for you. As a matter of fact, it is beginning at page 405. And the heading here is, Don't Say No Until You Know What You're Saying No To. You know, this is a good one. I was in New York City yesterday with a young woman, and we walked into a bakery up in the Queens Village area. And, of course, she's an American. I had her in this West Indian restaurant / bakery, and she said to me if it's normal food that's in this place. And I asked her what does she consider to be normal food. And it was just the language. And she was not open nor receptive to just try a sample of something new that she did not know. And she replied to me, no, I don't want to try it because I look at it and I know I'm not going to like it. And I was puzzled that she wasn't even open to trying it. So she said no to something before she even knew what it was. So, as Roger and McWilliams says here, don't say no until you know what you are saying no to. And it reads, as we mentioned before, when we commit to a goal, the method to achieve that goal will appear. When the methods do appear, they may not be as Sedlam are, dressed in familiar garb. Many people are in the habit of saying no to all new experiences. Part of this, of course, is the comfort zone. It's new, so don't do it. A last saying, no to something before we know what we are saying no to, has a rather nasty name, one that no one likes to hear apply to themselves. That word is prejudice. It means, of course, to prejudge something. Human beings do it all the time. How many opinions do you have of people you have never even met? Oh, you may not know them personally, but your opinions are accurate because you read about them in the papers. That's very different. We have had the chance to meet a number of famous people who we initially knew only through the media. Many of them lived up to or down to their reputations. Others did not. Some people who had bad reps in the press were in fact delightful. And they mention here, as Hedda Hooper says, nobody's interested in sweetness and light. Others who are known to be magnificent individuals were in fact monsters. Many people say no because they don't want to know. The mind of a bigot is like the pupil of an eye, wrote Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. The more light you pour onto it, the more it will contact. We, of course, recommend becoming a pupil of light, a pupil of life. My mind is made up, the old saying goes. Don't try and confuse me with the fact. The answer is this. The answer is to this comes from Aldous Huxley. Facts do not cease to exist because they are ignored. William S. Burroughs gives the tendency to make up our minds before we have enough information on even more severe interpretation. A paranoid is a man who knows a little of what's going on. If something presents itself to you and you don't know is really decided if it might help you achieve your goal, don't say no. Find out more. How do we find out more? By asking, doing, listening, in short, by getting involved, experiencing. As you may have gathered by now, our advice on new opportunities is, it is not going to be physically harm you. It's not going to physically harm you. It might be helpful on the path of your dream. Try it. Other than the comfort zone, control your life. What have you got to lose? Another reason people don't even want to hear about new opportunities is that people are afraid to say no, especially after they have gotten to know someone. It's the only don't say no to people you know, but do say no to people you don't know rule. It's a rule perpetrated by the people we know for obvious reasons. They are, for obvious reasons, why are you giving your money to this charity? To save eagles when your own brother needs new carpet? This phenomenon was described by the great philosopher Jispy Rose Lee. She's descended from a long line of her mother. Listen to. It's easier for those people to say no while the person offering the new experience is still a stranger. No, there's not suggesting you listen to the spiel of every person who tries to sell you a flower at the airport. It is safe to assume that one besuited flower seller will tell you about the same thing as another. We are suggesting, however, that you listen to it once. For things that are more clearly on your path, you might try them more than once, as Vigil Thompson, who thrived until his death at 93, once said, "Try a thing you haven't done three times. Once to get over the fear of doing it, twice to learn how to do it, and the third to figure out whether you like it or not." And isn't that the truth? You know, because we are so fearful, and for some of us it's we are afraid of people of different culture and different ethnicity and things like that. So here if you're just joining and you're wondering why you're just hearing Daphne alone, it's because today the conversation is open to you, for you to share your ideas and information and experiences on the problems of solving small business, the solutions of solving small business problems. And the number to call is 646-915-8166. And I'm here reading different statements and different articles from different authors. And a lot of the articles are from two of my famous authors, and it's John Roger and Peter McWilliams. And we are here talking, reading about don't say no to something you don't know. Okay? So that's what we are doing here this morning. And I want to hear from you. The phone lines are open. The chat room is also open. Now, the authors here say that Mr. Thompson has an excellent point. Doing something once will get us over the fear of doing it. That's fine. But if it was a significant challenge in our comfort zone, it's not enough to feel free about it. There is still guilt to reckon with. Doing something three times works through the fear of doing it, the fear of feeling guilty about doing it, and takes a good slice out of the guilt of doing it. We are not free to choose to do a thing or not until it's fully within our comfort zone. Freedom from something is not enough. Observe Zedekiah Cafe Jr. It should also be freedom for something. The person who has never been to New York City but has heard nasty things about it is not free from regarding New York City. The person who has been there once and found some of the bad things people were saying true, but discover a lot of good things too, is more free to choose to visit New York City again. The person who's visiting New York City often enough to feel comfortable there is completely free to choose to travel to New York City a lot. After listening to someone present whatever it is they have to present to you, then you can say no. You are not obligated to say yes, not just because you listened. You are only obligated if you commit to a certain course of action. Listening to information is not an agreement to do anything with the information. You may decide that the information is all very interesting, but it doesn't help you fulfill your dream. Then say no. And be on your way. You may also find that you actually do something that is complete waste of time. Oh well, as someone once said, don't be afraid to go on to an occasional wild goose chase. That's what wild geese are for. Or to quote Flip Wilson, you can't expect to hit the jackpot if you don't put a few nickels in the machine. And that is so, 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 so true. You know, too often we are playing it safe. We don't take chances on ourselves. We don't take chances on the opportunity. We don't take chances on the success of whatever we are doing, because we are always sitting in our rocking chair on the patio of our comfort zone. So we always have to remember that. We have to take risks and we have to step out. And most of all, we need to take responsibility for all the things that are going on, because we are in charge. We are in charge. Because remember, even the people we hire, on, although we pay them, they do not have the vested interest that we have. So we have to remember that. Everything, if it is to be, it's going to be up to me. So remember that, please. You may find, however, that the information is valuable. Remember that your goal fulfillment system is working all the time, putting experiences, lessons, information, and people to you to help you fulfill your dreams. Let your hooks always be cast. Avoid some new 1,000 years ago in the pool where you least expect it will be a fish. And, you know, isn't that powerful stuff right there? You know? And remember, if you're just joining, the conversation is open for you. The phone number to call is 646-915-8166. And the chat room is also open, www.blogtalkradio.com/Daphne-Clark-Hudson. Please join the conversation and just share your thoughts and ideas. And what does it take to solve the small business, resolve the small business problems that we think we are faced with? Okay. Now, the next section we are going to move to here is the value of action. Action, action, action. There are two primary benefits to action. So in other words, we have to remember we must get up off our spots. That is a must in order to take action. The first is obvious, although often overlooked. If we don't do something, we are not going to get anything. We will get what comes our way, which may or may not be what we want. Even if what we want occasionally does come our way, we almost always have to do something to partake of it. As the bumper sticker reads, action is satisfaction. Right? Action is satisfaction. And I'm saying that especially if I'm praying that some of those people are listening who we were talking about the different issues they face with the small business situation. You know, instead of stressing yourself and getting all bent out of shape, decide what action you want to take and then take the action. You know, it'd be surprising that after people realize that there is about to be some action taken, their feathers get ruffled a bit, and they too will decide to take action. And you might be flexible enough in retracting what it is you decide you were going to do. The second benefit is one of those hidden values, like excitement, hidden as fear, or caring, hiding as hurt. The value of action is that we make mistakes. Mistakes show us that we need to learn. I'm going to repeat that. Mistakes show us that we need to learn. However, if we do not take a chance, if we don't take a risk, if we don't get off the patio of comfort zone, if we don't turn the rocking chair over, we will not know what we need to learn. Okay? There are not going to talk about mistakes again, are they? Some readers may mourn. Yes, we are. It may be a mistake too, but we are. Many people read about the value of mistakes, saying that makes sense, and then continue living their lives the same, avoid mistakes at all costs manner as before. They continue to play it safe. Don't learn, and they need to know and then wonder why they are not closer to their dream. Men stumble over the truth from time to time. Winston Churchill wrote, "But most pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing happened that is mistaken." Mistakes show us what we need to learn. They indicate that we must study in order to have success. This study might be finding out more information, or it might mean more practice, or what we already know whether either way, when we make a mistake, it's a golden arrow saying, study this if you want success. From error to error, said Manfroid, said, one discovers the entire truth. When people aren't ready to welcome mistakes as the great aids to education that they are, people deny them instead of looking for mistakes as they are come. Learn more and do better. People ignore filter and flat out deny mistakes altogether. This, of course, is not another mistake. All great people review their actions, even those actions that led to success, and ask themselves, how would I have done this better? It's known as critical thinking. We criticize our behaviors so that we can do better next time. Most people, however, improperly use their critical ability. They use it to find reasons why they should give up. I did so many things wrong, they would say. Why should I bother trying? I quit. Of course, we are going to do things wrong. We should be grateful that we have the ability to recognize them. The mediocre never know what's quite right. They are satisfied with any old thing, and that's precisely what they wind up with. You'll get a chance to do better next time, as long as you are actively involved in pursuing your goal. There will always be a next time. If you are moving toward your dream, opportunity doesn't just knock once. It will knock you down. The process of learning can be given 4 steps. And here are the 4 steps. Act. You must take action. Learn for the mistakes. Criticize or dissect those mistakes and extract from that the lessons learned. Learn how to do it better next time. You know, don't get bent out of shape when you're asked to go into another position. It's going to be worth the while, because it's going to be helping you to grow and how to do something better. Now, number 4 step is go to one. Remember, asking a question does not say you're weak. It shows you that you are strong and can become stronger. And that one I learned from my friend, Miss Lorna Owens. Now, the next section I wanted to look on here is letting go of distractions. You know, as the entrepreneur, as the business owner, as the manager, as the supervisor, you will need to look on those things for what they are, distractions. Look at them and list them for what they are. Distractions do not bring satisfaction. What are distractions? Anything not on the way of your goal that consumes your time. Thoughts or emotions, energy is distraction. There are the obvious distractions, the physical, bad habits, and addiction that people know are bad for them. They are the more subtle distractions, such as the habit of always focusing on the negative. For lots more about this and suggestion on how to overcome it, there is a book that is listed here, and it's called You Can Afford, You Can't Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought. You can't afford the luxury of a negative thought. Then there are the distractions that appear to be wonderful things, virtues, even, but the distractions, they are distractions nonetheless. This latter category is the most trickier. There are actions that are disrupted, good for yourself, or good for the other people, but are not directly on the path to your goal. You could win the Nobel Prize for your charitable work, and if your dream were to be the pro golfer, all of the charity work would in fact be a distraction. Imagine that you are walking along the path. At the end of the path is your dream. The way is clear. The goal is in sight. All you have to do is to keep walking on your path till you reach your dream. Along the way, however, lining the path on either side are distractions. It's their work to set you to see if your goal is really the goal you want, to see if you are worthy of your dream. The distractions can do anything they want to tempt you, get off your path, offer sex, food, fame, power. Success is an area not part of your dream. Recognition easy, money, everything. What they cannot do is to get on your path and stop you. Leaving the path is always your choice. Choose to pursue your dream. Follow your path. Be still and follow your dream. So, before we continue to that section, you know, as we as we continue this conversation here, it has become very visible to me that in whatever challenge we encounter, may it be in our personal life or in our business or professional life, so long as we keep focus on self, three quarters of the problem will be out of the way. Because we have the total control to change our life by modifying the attitude of our minds. And let us always remember that. We are blessed to be able to have access of the systems and all the people we have surrounding us, but the result needs to come from us. So we need to continually focus on that and just keep a checklist of all these things that can get us off the path. Yes. So we are now going to talk about be still and follow your dream. Now, I wanted to make mention there, somebody, I'm not going to call names because I don't know whether the workers are listening to the show or what, but you know we were having discussion over the buffet on that rainy Friday, and you made mention about certain workers and all of that. The one thing I want to bring to your mind, especially this morning, is the fact that you are the owner. That is your vision from you were a little boy. That was what you wanted to do. So know that the workers that you have, they do not necessarily have the same passion and vision like you have. And it may come a time when you will probably need to replace people. And if that's this situation, you'll just have to step back, be still, ask for clarity on what you need to do and just get it done, because you cannot have an anchor on your ship that you are looking to have set sail. If you're sailing, you're sailing. If you're dock, you're dock. And you, at this time, want to be sailing, and that's what you need to focus on. Be still and follow your dream. It is your job to fulfill your dream. It is not your job to right all the wrongs of the world, to teach everyone everything you know, so that they will be able to right all the wrongs of the world. It is not your job to right all the wrong of the world, to teach everyone everything you know, so that they will be able to right all the wrongs of the world, to in any way become involved with the struggle that always has been, probably always will be part of this planet or anything else. It is your job to fulfill your dream. If your dream involves social or individual change, fine. But saving part of the world is your business, but only part if, for example, cleaner air is your passion, let someone else have the whales. trust that which is an area of your concern, but not your dream. It is the dream of others. Let them fulfill their dream. You fulfill yours. Nature arms each man with some faculty which enables him to do easily some set impossible to any other, wrote Emerson. If we each bring our separate dish, our dream, to the table of life, even if it's just dessert, we can all enjoy the banquet. Our one great way of pursuing your dream, and only your dream, is keeping still. This begins by keeping still inside. We don't have to react to news of information that doesn't apply to our dream. If we react to everything, including all the things other people think we should react to, we will have no mental, emotional energy left to focus on our dreams. If it's not on our path, it doesn't apply to us. Someone just died somewhere in Russia. Does that profoundly sadden you? Why does it? Because it doesn't much apply to same is true. Because it doesn't much apply to your life. It is a tragedy for someone, but not for you. The same is true of all the other events and incidents delivered by the media and other gossip mongers. The news is designed to keep those that not on their path in the state of constant distraction. Maintain your inner stillness. Follow your dream. One way to obtain a greater inner silence is to maintain an outer silence. We need not have or give an opinion of every subject under the sun. One of the lessons of history, wrote historian Will Durant, is that nothing is often a good thing to you and always a clever thing to say. For those who prefer the scientific formula rather than the historical perspective, we present Albert Einstein. If A is success in life, then A equals X plus Y plus Z. Work is X, Y is played, and X is keeping your mouth closed. Even with something you do know about, something you know very definite opinions about, something you have every right to feel passionate about. We are talking about your dream, of course. It's good to be quiet about that with others too. It is a mistake for a sculptor or a painter to speak or write every often about his work. said Henry Moore. It releases tension needed for his work. Keep the tension, the passion within you. Express it in deeds, in action, not in words. Ben Franklin agreed with this too. Proclaim not all you knowest, all thou ownest, all thou hast, nor all thou canst. Of obtainments, keep them to yourself. Be smart, but never show it. Advise Louis B. Mayer. Of problems, keep those to yourself as well. You can't tell your friends if you are being truckloaded, wrote Montecare. Even if he doesn't laugh at you, he may put the information into personal use. Be still, pursue your dream, and follow your path. A quote by Thomas Edison reads, "Opportunity missed by most people because it is dressed in overall that looks like work." You can't build a repetition on what you are doing, on what you are going to do. And that is from Henry Ford. So now we have only 28 minutes remaining here in this conversation, and there is still time for you to call. The number is 646-915-8166. And of course, the chat room is open. So please join us there. And let us just wrap up this conversation with a bang. So in other words, just to slightly recap here, we spoke about be still and follow your dreams. We talk about letting go of distraction. We talk about the value of action. We spoke about don't say no to things that you don't know, and to remember that it's always good to take action, journaling, write things down, and it is not a girly thing. Men, you can journal too. It's a way of becoming more creative and keeping track of all those creative ideas that will come to you. The other thing we spoke about is that we don't plan to fail, we fail to plan. So all of these different headings, I pray, will help us to resolve the small business problems that the majority of us are faced with. Then we spoke on response ability, and then we had put those two words together, and we came up with responsibility, and we spoke about what that meant for each and every one of us in our business. So I just wanted to kind of recap some of the things we're talking about here, and now we spoke about be still and following our dreams. And here, now we're going to talk about do the work. Do the work. You know, it's too often God give us this idea, and we don't want to start. But seeing that this morning was devoted to solving the problems for small business, the one thing I felt led now to share is the fact that whatever business we are doing, we should be qualified to pick up any slot that we need to pick up. It could be the marketing, it could be the receptionist, the phone, cleaning the floors, all aspects of our business, we need to be able to do the work that it entails there. You will achieve your dream when you have done the necessary work. You will achieve your dream when you have done the necessary work. Good news. You will achieve your dream. Bad news is there's work involved. Work, work, work. You know, oftentimes I tell people, I said, you know, now I'm working smart. I'm not working hard anymore. And I think all of us need to reach that stage in whatever we are doing. When we have the system down pat that works for us over and over and over again. Pursuing your dream requires work mentally, emotionally, and physically. Work is what we don't want to do, but we do anything to get something else. To reach your dream, you'll be called upon to do a lot of things you don't want to do. Some people live in a fairy tale fantasy about the attainment of their dream. They think that every step on the way to their dream should be effortless. A private jet picks them up on their front lawn and transport them to paradise. Not only that, but they are carried in the private jet and fed peel grapes along the way. What is a fantasy? You had best dismiss. While you're at it, you might as well dismiss the fantasy that the work ever stops. Some people like to include a complete working, work-free life as part of their dream. They tend to agree with Charles McCarthy, who says, hard work never kills anybody, but they take the chance. Alas, the work continues even after we have our dream. If we are still alive, there's still work to be done. The work may change from form, but it remains as irksome as work always is. Actors work to find an agent. Once an agent is found, they work to keep apart. Once they get enough parts and are a star, they work to find the right script. The work never ends. In other sections of the book, we have discussed the mental and emotional work involved. We would be remiss, however, if we didn't specifically mention physical work. But It is a rough road that leads to the heights of greatness. Seneca said, part of the roughness is doing all the mundane things you know you'll hire someone else to do once you achieve your dream. Our main business is not to see what lies dimly in the distance, wrote Thomas Carroll, but to do what lies clearly in hand. Is stuffing envelopes with your resume at hand stuff? There are some things we can never hire anyone to do. If our dream requires our personal physical ability or skills, for example, we have the work to maintain that nothing I do can't be done by a 10-year. Within 15 years of practice, said magician Harry Blackstone Jr., you can't hire someone to practice you. Sometimes we have an opportunity that requires extra work. Do it. With an unusual necessity forces us onward, a surprising thing occurs. Observe Thomas James. The fatigue gets worse up to a certain point when gradually suddenly it passes away and we are fresher than before. We have eventually tapped a new level of energy. James continues. There may be layer after layer of this experience. A third and fourth wind, we find amounts of ease and power that we never dream ourselves to own. Sources of strength habitually not taxed because habitually we never push through the obstruction of fatigue. The French proverb sums it up. One may go a long way after one is tired. Some people say they would like more luck. What they usually need is more work. The harder you work, the saying goes, the luckier you get. Luck itself is fairly even distributed. Breaks balance out, says Darrell Royal. The sun don't shine on the same old dogs every day. A lot of people miss valuable opportunities or flatly refuse to partake of them due to their unwillingness to work. Problems are only opportunities in work clothes. Observe Henry J. Kissinger, sounding a lot like Edison. Do the necessary work. A lot of people decide how much that is before they really know how much it will be. They say, I've done enough work, and give up. They were wrong. It wasn't enough. How do we know when it is enough? Simple. When we have what we want, it was enough. Until then, it wasn't. Do the work until it's enough. Until you have your dreams. It's a lot of physical work pursuing your dream. Be prepared for it. Be prepared for it. Okay. Yes, moving right along. We have 15 minutes or so remaining in this episode. And I found this thing which I thought was hysterical, and I wanted to share it with you. And it says, in training for success, consider the pursuit of your dream a major athletic event. Train for it. What we do, we become stronger in. What's true, mental, emotional, and physical. Physical, keep fit. What keeps us fit? Exercise. A good diet, precisely. What constitutes a good diet, however, is so controversial. What we might open a special chamber of the gap just to accommodate the many beliefs about nutrition, we can nonetheless offer with confidence this diet by Joel Weldon, found on the bulletin board of Dr. William Hellman. For breakfast, half a grapefruit, one piece whole wheat toast, 8 ounces of skim milk. For lunch, 4 ounces of lean breast of chicken, 1 cup steamed zucchini, 1 Oreo, 1 cup herb tea. Mid-afternoon snack, rest of the pack of the Oreo cookies, 1 quart Rocky Road ice cream, 1 jar hot fudge. And for dinner, 2 loaves of banana bread, 1 large pepperoni pizza, 1 large pitcher of beer, 5 Milky Way bars, entire frozen cheesecake eaten directly from the freezer. And I thought that was hysterical, and I wanted to share that with you because, you know, there are so many different takes on what's the appropriate thing. The one thing and the one rule I focus on maintaining is that we are what we eat. And it continues here in support of that wonderful diet I just shared. I went on a diet, said Joe E. Lewis, sore of drinking, any heavy eating, and in 14 days I lost 2 weeks. Only Irish coffee provides in a single glass of 4 essential food groups. Alex Levine tells us, alcohol, caffeine, sugar, and fat. Emotions, keep them flexible. We keep them flexible by practicing unexpected emotional reactions to life. Challenges, for example, be loving even if you don't get your way. It won't cause people to come at you any less, but you will learn to be magnificent in the handling. Mind, keep it open. Eagerly consider new ideas, thoughts, suggestions, information, insight, perceptions, intuition, comfort zones. Keep expanding it. Each day, do at least one thing you don't want to do that has absolutely no practical benefit whatsoever. This keeps the comfort zone going. For example, walking up and talking to people who you don't want to meet will expand the comfort zone. Eventually, walking up and meeting strangers will be easy, comfortable. Then, when you see someone you want to meet, say hello. will be an easy thing to do. Do something every day that you won't want to do, Mark Twain advised. This is the golden rule for acquiring the habit of doing your duty without pain. Your duty is fulfilling your dream. And I wanted to share these points with you, and I pray that you have gotten something out of it. William Lloyd Garrison says, I am in earnest. I will not equivocate. I will not excuse. I will not retreat a single inch. I will be heard. So in other words, if it is to be, it has to be up to you. So remember that your dream is for you to fulfill. The success of your small business is up to you. And we cannot keep pointing fingers. We cannot keep blaming the government. You know, Mark Twain says, it is a good idea to obey all the rules when you are young, just so you will have the strength to break them when you are old. And know that your success is up to you, regardless of what your environment looks like or who your team is. It's up to you. There are some shortcuts to success. And these shortcuts are people, and that people equals relationship, books, tapes, videos, magazines, etc. And those is equal to investing in your intellectual capital. And they are shortcuts to success. Learn from the accumulating wisdom of the ages. That's what it's been accumulated for you to use as resources. A doctor, for example, is a shortcut to health. A teacher, a shortcut to learning. Any expert is a shortcut to success. A picture may be worth 10,000 words, but a bit of advice from someone who has achieved the goal of a similar yours is worth 1,000 pictures. With all advice, suggestion, and guidance, we recommend the same thing. Check it out for yourself. It may have worked for them, but it might not work for you. Sometimes you learn how to do something by following advice. Other times you learn to do precisely the opposite of what is recommended. Knowing a source of consistently bad advice is a godsend. Consult it regularly, then do the contrary. As the churchgoer said, Father, your sermons are like water to the drowning man. The other give advice, they do a favor. When you put that advice to good use, the favor is returned. And I am just thrilled that I had the opportunity to spend this time with you. And I pray that as you listen and re-listen to this episode, it will help you to sit down and really analyze who you are, what you are about, and the focus and vision that you have entrusted towards your dream and fulfilling your dream. Is your dream and vision about you? Is your mission about you? Or is it about impacting and investing and improving in other people's lives? Once you take the focus off of you, you're going to find out that these problems will disappear so long as you start putting your focus on developing other people's lives. You know that you are the leader, you are up front, and there are others that are following you. So take the pressure off of them and put the pressure off of you. Tell yourself that, am I the right example? Am I portraying the type of teamwork that I want to see in my business? If you're working with volunteers, are they feeling as if they are part of your complete organization? Or are you allowing them to feel as if they are getting into the way of your production? You know, we all need to sit down and always evaluate ourselves. You know, the last thing I want to share with you here is the last analysis of our only freedom is the freedom to discipline ourselves. So remember, you are your responsibility. To take action is your responsibility. And when you realize that I am the discipline that I want to see in this business and into this organization, it will be the discipline that you see. I ask you to come next week and join us again. If there is anything special you are looking to hear on this show, I want you to let me know that. Know that I'm here for you. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to deposit and invest in you. I want you to know always that you have a destiny, and I want you to always follow it, regardless of how taxing things has become. And oh, the other book I promised to share for you is Preparing for the Wolf, The Success Secret from Three Little Pigs by Robert Roots. And if you don't have that, you need to get that. And that book, along with The Overcoming Crisis by Dr. Miles Monroe, and Do It, Let's Get Off Our Butts. These are the solutions for solving our small business problems. Because if it is to be, it is up to us. I thank you for listening.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
Showing me. directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord, thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this place. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this place. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. I can almost see the breaking of day. It's destiny.